I'm told that the idea for Mother's Day was suggested in 1872 by Julia Ward Howe. And you know who that woman was? She was the author of the stirring song, The Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I think in a sense that is only fitting, because good mothers know that there are battles that must be fought in life, and indeed they know how to fight for what is important. Surely you have heard the poem that says, "The bravest battle that ever was fought, shall I tell you where and when? On the maps of the world you will find it not. It was fought by the mothers of men." And that is certainly right. I believe this emphasizes the truth that being a mother is often a difficult and time-consuming job. Did you know that it is said that by the time a youngster reaches 18 years of age, that the mother has had to handle some 18,000, think about that, some 18,000 hours of child-generated housework, work, of course, that would not have been necessary if there had been no child. And so surely if there is anyone in this life who deserves our honor and respect, it is our mothers. And make no mistake about it, this is a Bible topic, and the Word of God emphasizes the importance of the mother to the home. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, he said, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house," notice that, "guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." You see, this shows that the home is indeed the woman's domain. In other words, it is her main sphere of activity. And I think we can say that this is where she fulfills her destiny. And I submit unto you that there is no holier task that was ever committed to mortals than this, to bear children, which obviously is a unique role of the woman. And let me say that she has that feminine touch that helps to bring order and a sweetness to the home that would be lacking without her presence. I would hate to think tonight what my house would look like without my wife, Judy, without her touch. If you were to go through the rooms of our house, you would see that there's all kinds of pretty decorations on the wall. There are pictures of family and children and grandchildren that are constantly being updated. And you know what? For the most part, she is the one who put those things there. You know why? The reason is because she's better at that than I am. And yes, she is also more sensitive to that kind of a thing. And so here's a news flash tonight, and that is, men and women think differently. Indeed, God created men and women differently. I know that we're living in a culture where some people want to obliterate all distinctions between the sexes. In fact, I heard on the news just a couple of nights ago on Fox News, that I like to watch, so I know it has to be true if it was on Fox News. But anyway, it was reported by Bill O'Reilly that it is now the policy in our national parks that anyone can go into any restroom in a national park. In other words, what that means is, a national park now, if you're a man, you can go into a woman's restroom if you choose to do so, and vice versa. And you know, when I heard that and when I think about that, I wonder, have we in our society, at least some of us, have we lost our minds? Really, have we lost our minds? It seems like that we have lost our way. But as I said, really, this goes against the natural order of things, the way that God created things. God created men and women differently. And listen, that's not meant to be a criticism. It is simply a recognition and appreciation for how God did create things. And listen, both the woman's femininity and the man's masculinity are important, and really they play a vital role in balancing things out in the home for the good of the children and for everyone involved. And so for just a little while, in the time that I have remaining this evening, I want to talk about the worth of a mother. How much is a mother And I'm especially talking about a godly mother. How much is she worth? Well, the Bible tells us, of course, that you cannot put a price tag on a mother's worth. Remember in Proverbs 31, there Solomon gives, I believe, the greatest tribute that has ever been given to womanhood. And there in verse 10, he posed the question, who can find a virtuous woman? And then he went on to say, for her price is far above rubies. And then we learn in verse 28 that specifically in this tribute, he's talking about wives and he's talking about mothers. Because he says, her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. My question is, why should a mother's worth be something that we value so highly? Well, I want to talk about that for just a little while. And I think really to answer that question is necessary to understand all the things that a mother is. In other words, the different roles that motherhood involves. And when we take that into account, we can understand why that a mother is something that is of great value. I want to begin by saying, first of all, that a mother's worth is seen in her role as a teacher. As a teacher. And this is something that mothers need to understand and appreciate. That up to a certain point in your child's life, listen to this tonight, if you're a mother, do you realize that up to a certain point in your child's life that you are probably the most important and the most effective teacher that your child will ever have? And in fact, you're going to teach him or her lessons that are vital to their very existence here upon this earth. I'm talking about things like how to eat, literally how to eat and how to eat properly, how to go to the potty, as we say, the need for good manners, as well as the importance of such things as honesty and integrity and morality and modesty. You see, in many ways, the mother is the hub on which everything else turns. And due to the multifaceted roles that she plays in the home, everyone should see her importance. And really, everyone in a home depends upon mother more than they could ever imagine. And that leads me to say this tonight. That's the reason why that really, I don't understand the attitude that some women have, and I'm even talking about some in the church now. It seems like that instead of being content with their God-given role as women and wives and mothers, that there are those who long for something more. Maybe they want to be preachers. In other words, they want to be public proclaimers of God's word. They want to have a ministry of some kind that brings them attention and that puts them in the public eye. And do you know what that demonstrates? I believe that it shows that there are those who do not appreciate how important our women and mothers are to the work of the church. One man put it like this. He said that we need to appreciate the ministry of motherhood. Think about that expression, the ministry of motherhood. In other words, what he meant by that is that she has a vital role in the home in teaching her children and instructing them in the ways of God. And let's not underestimate the mother's worth in this capacity simply because this is something that is done in a private individual capacity. Yes, the mother is an effective teacher. In fact, I want every adult in this audience tonight, if you would, just let your mind wander for a few moments and think about your own mother, especially if you had a godly mother. And did she not teach you some of the most beneficial lessons that you ever learned in life? One man illustrated it like this, and as I go through this list, see if you can't relate to what he says somewhat. He talks about things that my mother taught me. He said she taught me logic when she said, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you're not going to be able to go to the store with me. He said she taught me medicine. She said, if you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. She taught me to think ahead when she said, if you don't pass your spelling tests, you're never going to have a good job. She taught me tuition. She said, put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're a code? He said, she taught me humor. She said, when that mower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. She taught me how to be an adult. She said, if you don't eat your vegetables, you will never grow up. She taught me genetics. She said, and this one probably hurt, you're going to be just like your father whenever you grow up. She taught me about my roots. She said, do you think you were born in a barn? He said, she taught me about the wisdom of age. When you get to be my age one of these days, you will understand. She taught me about anticipation. And I think here's the one that really hit home. It always did with me. Just wait till your father gets home. When your father gets home, he'll take care of this situation. Finally, he said, she taught me about justice. She said, one day when you have kids, I hope that they turn out just like you, and then you'll see what it is like. You know what? When you think about it, what wonderful teachers our mothers were. And even though these little things we just went through were kind of humorous, really, there was some wisdom. There was great wisdom in all of those sayings. Listen, godly mothers are great teachers. And they take the opportunity to teach their children about God and about things that are spiritual and divine. We have that wonderful example of the evangelist Timothy. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, he talks about Timothy's mother and his grandmother who helped him to become the great man of faith that eventually he became. When Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, now listen, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. You know what? That's what we need in the church today. That's what we need in the 21st century today. We need more mothers and grandmothers like these two women, as I said, who helped Timothy become the great man of faith that he was. He became an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel in the first century. And because they were totally committed to living for God, Timothy knew the joy of living in a Christian home. Undoubtedly, by verbal instruction and a godly example, they instilled in Timothy the same kind of faith that they possessed. And listen, mothers, this is your same responsibility today. And so I would exhort you that if you're a mother, realize what a wonderful opportunity this is. Take the time and the initiative to teach your children about spiritual things. Tell them the story of Jesus. Teach them who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And also teach them and tell them some of those other great Bible stories that we read about in the scriptures. You know what, mothers? You can teach your children how to pray. You can instill within them the godly principles of God's word. And you can be a great teacher in their life. I like the way that one man put it. Listen to this. He said, mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase. And you know what? That's right. We need more godly mothers in the church today. It is said that Napoleon once made the statement. He said, if France has great mothers, then France will have great sons. And I want to conclude by saying that if the church has great godly mothers, as I believe no doubt there are many just like that in this audience tonight, and I praise you for that and commend you for that. But if the church has great godly mothers, then the future of the church is going to be bright. And we're going to have men who are going to come along who will want to be evangelists and preachers, just like Timothy was in the long, long ago. We honor our godly mothers and we thank God for them. And I exhort you today, if you're a mother, especially in this audience, think about the things that we have talked about. And realize what a great responsibility you have, but also the great reward that goes along with that.